Yeah, I definitely want to talk about the real estate side because we want to talk about you and your business and the you brand and the business brand.
Right.
Because one of the big things that, you know, and I'm just going to introduce you from the get-go because normally I let things kind of slide into it and then I'll introduce you or you'll introduce yourself.
Mm.
But this is kind of one of those nonfiction brand moments that it's exactly what I'm talking about when I'm talking about building your personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, longtime listeners of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast will have heard me talk about the fact that I go to 1 Million Cups in Madison pretty much every Wednesday. And 1 Million Cups is a networking, I'm not even going to call it a networking event. It's a connecting event. Mm-hmm. It's a sharing event. It's a learning event, kind of in the new business space. And by new business, I mean technology startups like the one you'll be talking about today, or small business, solopreneur businesses, or what would definitely fit in the small business category. And it's a chance for people to get up, to present what they do, how they do it, and then get really great input from people in the audience and potentially make connections via that way. I met you there out of the blue because it was your first time, and I'm a long timer. Mm-hmm. So I tend to look around the room and say, hey, is this your first time? Just to make people feel welcome.
Right.
We hit off a conversation and boom, I find out you're doing some really cool stuff, which we'll be talking about over the course of the podcast. But I want to focus on the nonfiction brand aspect of Nate Shields. Tell us where you come from originally, mm-hmm. where you were for the past 20 years,
right.
and then why you made the trek back to Madison.
Right. Yeah. So I grew up in the sticks in northern Wisconsin and had a great kind of idyllic childhood there. Ended up going to school in the Chicago area, though, and kind of got stuck down there for many different reasons. Part of it was work, but part of it was because, you know, the economy did collapse at one point. So we were underwater in our house and we were kind of like, well, someday we'll, you know, maybe branch out and go somewhere else. We didn't have any family connecting us there at that point, and all my family was back in Wisconsin. We loved Madison from the get-go. That was one of our first vacations. And so we did a lot of mini vacays. And it was kind of talk of retirement eventually. Like, okay, when we retire, we'll retire in Madison. We just like it that much, even though people think we're crazy for moving farther north. But we said, well, let's try to do it in 10 years and then 5 years. And then let's do it while the kids are not in school yet. And let's just try it as an experiment. We figured, you know, a year or two and we'll give it a go. And it's been 6 months and we just absolutely love it. And we've already made a lot of great connections, like through 1 Million Cups and some of my real estate networking groups, stuff like that.
When Nate says he's from the sticks in Wisconsin, I want to give Wisconsinites an idea of just how sticky those sticks are. It's up in Vilas County,
uh-huh.
up in Eagle River.
Right.
Snowmobile capital of the world.
That's right. Yeah, I think growing up, population was about 1,000 people. We didn't have any stoplights growing up until a little bit later. Now it's a little more touristy. It's definitely a tourist town. And in fact, my dad was a fishing guide for a very long time up there. And so he wanted to be in a spot as well. And, you know, way back in the day, he wanted to pursue what he wanted to pursue, which was being in a beautiful spot. And even though that meant taking a pay cut and maybe missing out on some opportunities, he figured that, you know, why wait for retirement? Go where you want to go now. And so that's how we kind of ended up there. We were actually in the Chicago area when I was real little as well.
Wow. Just yesterday, once again, Madison was announced by some authority, I think it was a magazine or something, as the number one work-life balance city in the entire United States. And they have criteria and all that stuff. And Madison checks off the boxes for a lot of different people. But I want to talk about your path, because it's not unlike my path, you know, in terms of growing up in Wisconsin and wanting to get out of Wisconsin as quickly as possible. Spend a bunch of time bopping around the United States, several different metro areas in my case, ending up for a long period of time in Chicago, and then realizing I want a little of that work-life balance that I hear so much about, but certainly don't necessarily have. And by the way, Illinois listeners, I'm sorry, but it's true. The best thing about Chicago is Wisconsin.
It's funny. I mean, all the people that I would run into when we lived in the Chicago area, everyone either had a cabin or had a friend or a cousin or an uncle who had a cabin in Wisconsin, and everyone loved getting away for that purpose.
Yeah, well, it's not too much of a stretch to say Chicago is where you go to make money,
mm-hmm.
but Wisconsin and Madison is where you go to live.
Right.
Yep. Well, welcome to Madison and congratulations for, you know, realizing a key part of your personal brand, which is, you know what? I thought that was going to be for me. It's not for me. I got to find the place that is right for me. Now, you work in real estate, and you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I was, so during the recession, I was actually working in marketing, and it was not a glamorous position. It wasn't something I really enjoyed because it was more administrative, and I wanted to do something more creative and something where I had some control over my time as well. And so initially, I was looking to exit my job, but then the recession hit. And
yeah.
So it affected the marketing business. And so pay got cut, hours got cut. There weren't a lot of opportunities out there. And I talked to a real estate broker about getting into, you know, just real estate sales and what that looked like and could I do it part-time. And he pretty much talked me out of it at the time. Really great guy. And I'm still in contact with him to this day. But that was probably 2011, something like that. And he just said, you know, it's really hard to start part-time. It's expensive. You know, it takes a while to build up your business. You know, all things I kind of knew, but I was hoping that I could start part-time so I could start to exit my other job or at least supplement my income a little bit. So a couple of years came and went, and I hopped on LinkedIn and saw that part of our alumni group, there was a post from someone who was a real estate broker. And he said, hey, if anyone's interested in starting real estate part-time, you know, hit me up. So I did. We had breakfast, hit it off, and he brought me into the business. I got my license and was going within about 4 months. And then 8 months after that, I quit my job and went full-time in real estate sales.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
You didn't take a course. You didn't take a degree in real estate. You actually did what a good nonfiction brand is constantly seeking to do, which is I'm being myself. I'm talking to who I talk to, and then recognizing opportunity and jumping on it in a way that hopefully is successful for you. And it sounds like that was the start of a act two career. If act one was marketing, act two was real estate.
Right. And then that kind of led into act three, which is real estate investing. And so kind of in the back of my mind, before I even got into real estate, was I thought it'd be cool to own, you know, 10 or 20 properties. You know, it just made sense in my head. Have the tenants pay the mortgage, get a little bit of cash flow. Eventually those get paid off. Sounds like a nice little passive income play. And real estate just always interested me, which is why I wanted to get into the sales side. But I kind of forgot about that. After a couple of years of being in sales, I was just focused on that. It wasn't even on my radar to do any kind of real estate investing until a property manager friend of mine texted me a podcast called the Bigger Pockets Podcast. And they have a pretty giant platform on the web. And so I started listening to that. I think they had about 150 episodes at the time. And, you know, started with the current one, went all the way back to the beginning and just devoured it all over a course of a couple of months. I started reading some books on real estate investing. And around the same time, a good buddy of mine was also thinking about getting into real estate investing. And so we ended up partnering up, and we're still partners to this day on the rental side of the business. And currently we own 24 units. We're going to close on another 4 units in just a couple of weeks here. It's been a very interesting experience. Learned a lot. I've also flipped some houses too. And now I'm diving into the educational side of it too, teaching other people how to invest in real estate.
So you found a really good pivot into an area where you had an initial interest. You were able to follow that via a path that led in a significantly different way. You know, you were in regular sales, consumer sales, right?
Just residential.
Joe and Betty about a new house. And then you start looking at those houses saying, wait a minute, I should buy a few of those. And then you start flipping them, renovating them, you know, doing that. So you're going in a specific direction, and you're following it as long as your interest is and your heart is in it, and it's aligned with you and, dare I say it, your personal brand.
Right.
If you looked at yourself from a fellow colleague in the space, would you say that you were well known, or that people knew what to expect of you, or would they call you with leads or say, hey, dude, you got to look at this building because I think it's right up your alley?
Not initially. I mean, that kind of stuff takes a lot of time, and especially because we were in a market in Illinois that was semi-rural. And we were new to that market. We didn't really know that many people. So actually the sales side was somewhat difficult to get going. I think I probably had to pay more money to, you know, for fresh leads, stuff like that from Zillow and realtor.com, stuff like that. Whereas other people just had their network that they could go to. So I had to kind of build that from scratch, develop, you know, some relationships along the way. And then eventually when it did come to like some of the real estate investing, stuff like that, people were starting to like either previous clients, other brokers were starting to throw some deals my way.
Right. So I'm going to put it in my words and say you started out with zero brand, personal brand, real estate brand, professional brand. You needed to do what you needed to do to get that rolling.
Right.
But would you say you got more sales or more revenue engagement from the Zillow leads? Or did you get it from the person-to-person leads that you were able to cultivate over time?
Right. It's always going to be the person-to-person stuff. And some of those can convert into that. You know, some of those are still friends to this day, but a lot of them are more transactional. And that's why I ended up not selling real estate in the long haul. I did it for 6 years, but it's such a transactional business. And I kind of lost my passion for the sales side of things, but still hold on to that passion for the real estate investing and educating.
And you've built your brand to the point where you can be a legitimate educator.
Right.
Because if you've never sold a house, you certainly can't teach people how to do it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of people out there that want to know how to, they want to know how to flip a house, or they just want one or two rental properties or something like that. It's amazing how many people have an interest in real estate just because it's so common and everyone understands it. It's not hard to grasp, but there's a lot to the process of being a good investor.
Do you have workshops? Do you do webinars? Do you?
Yeah, I've been working on a video course actually right now. So I do some one-on-one coaching, but I'm working on a video course. I've got 40 videos all planned out. I've got maybe half of them done so far. And so that will be launching, you know, in the coming month or two here once I get those done. So it's a course, both an online course, it's all videos, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes long each, different topics to kind of get someone from point A to point B, from owning nothing to hopefully getting them their first flip or their first rental property. There are courses like that out there for sure. I wanted to differentiate myself a little bit and add a coaching component with it. So once they complete a few videos, we hop on a call, talk through some stuff because there's always going to be questions. So it's kind of like a coaching / mentor process along with it, just to help them get to where they need to go.
So what is the primary topic of it?
So the primary, I mean, there's really, it's broken down into 40 different topics, to be honest.
Sure,
so,
sure.
So there's two paths though. It's to either do a flip or to do, you know, a rental property. So it starts out kind of with goals. Mm-hmm. And then works its way into, say, like financing and creative financing, contractors, books you might need to read, as all the resources that I wish I would have had starting out.
Obviously, this is an audio podcast, so people can't see you or anything like that, but I'm going to give you a capsule summary. You know, Nate is looking like, you got the kind of shave on the side, you got the peaked hair on top, you're wearing a flannel shirt or a plaid shirt today. Are you put on a suit and tie to talk real estate guy? Or are you, this is who I am, this is how I do it, and this is what you should,
right.
Yeah, you can learn?
If you would have seen me during like real estate sales, this is what you would have seen. Like, yeah. I was never a suit and tie guy, and I never will be, I don't think. Just, I'm pretty casual, and I think a lot of my clients appreciated that. And so even when I hosted a real estate networking group back in Illinois, which led to an incredible amount of connections. And we'll get into that in a little bit, I'm sure, because that connects us with my technology company. But what you see is what you get. And I think one thing that people have noticed about me, or I would call a compliment, is that they say I'm authentic. And some people might say you're leaving money on the table, but that I'd rather be authentic.
Well, and the whole thing is the people are saying you're leaving money on the table are saying, the people who would want a suit and tie guy with a Mont Blanc pen and drives up in a white Lexus to the house and stuff like that, they aren't going to dig you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to ask, are you going to dig people who are into that?
Right, exactly. It's a two-way street there.
Exactly. I mean, so what you're doing is you're saying, I don't want the entire market, but I want to be relevant and attractive to the market that would be attracted to me and
right.
How I do things.
Exactly.
That's truly creating your nonfiction brand. Again, this is time for everyone to drink. If you've got your shot glasses ready, I'm going to say it. Know who you are so you can be it. If you know who you are and are actively being it, you will attract people who are going to be 100% satisfied with you, your services, the way you do business.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Handley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
I gotta admit it, that this is a confessional. Not everyone digs me. That's okay, because I certainly don't dig everybody.
Right.
But the ones who get me in a big way, and generally in a very positive way, too. You know, so I'm not trying to please everybody. I'm trying to please myself, but I'm also trying to please the people who care about what I do.
Right. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned is, unfortunately, it's been a more recent lesson, is just to be self-aware. You know, be aware of who you are. And figure that out as early as possible and with as little ego in the equation as possible. Realize that you have certain strengths and certain weaknesses, and don't have an ego about your strengths, but don't get caught up in what you can't do either.
Well, I was just thinking about this because, again, I've already said not everyone gets me. And I started thinking about it just this morning, and it occurred to me, you know what? The truly confident people I meet, not arrogant, but confident, actually have no problem with the type of energy that I'll bring to a conversation or a meet and greet or anything else like that. The ones who lack confidence, they don't dig it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking myself, why would I want to hang out with the less confident? And again, I'm not talking about some arrogant cigar smoking, the sales masters club or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, I'm pretty confident in who I am, what I do, and how I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to apologize for that. I do need to be self-aware, as you mentioned, but I'm also not going to put on a suit that I would never wear, drive a car that I frankly hate, and live a lifestyle that drives me nuts.
Right. Yep.
So now you've moved to Wisconsin and you're doing some real estate activity here?
Not in the current market as far as investing goes, but I am connected with a networking group here that's been very beneficial.
And you're seeking to grow that kind of teaching side, teaching
right.
leg of your business. You know, like
right.
if you want to look at the pillars of your business, it sounds like you have real estate. Under that, you've got real estate investing and real estate teaching and coaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And one of the things we'll be talking about in next week's episode ad nauseum is your tech platform that you've kind of hinted at called School Dispatch.
Correct.
Which, as a father of three daughters, the ability to just text your kid's status when it comes to being sick or going to the doctor or something like that is tremendously attractive. We'll talk about that. But the other parts of your business in town, are you 100% working on School Dispatch?
I would say about 80% on School Dispatch now and 20% on the real estate investing.
So if someone were looking to get into, why don't you take a second or two to sell your course that is yet to go live?
You can find more info about it at dudereelestate.com. I have a YouTube channel called Dude Real Estate as well, so you can just search for that. It's called From None to One, W-O-N. We want to make you a winner from getting to from no property to having your first deal. So there's a lot in the middle there. But like I said earlier, it's got that coaching component, which is a lot different than other courses out there. There's definitely video courses that people can find, or you can just go on YouTube and find it. But essentially, I've curated the content and I'm presenting all the content. And it's everything I wish I would have known when I first started out. And there's a lot to it. There's more than people think. And I think the coaching component kind of puts it over the top just because everyone's going to have questions. Mm-hmm. Even though the content is there, they're not going to know what to say to a lender, or they're not going to know the right marketing approaches for certain types of properties, or they're not going to know what the after repair value is on a property or how to find that out. So there's always going to be something that they need.
Right. And the people who are going to want to ask those questions are going to want to ask them of a person they feel comfortable asking those questions with.
Right. And they're not going to enter the course without having some sort of level of comfort, because it's not cheap. I wouldn't say it's one of the expensive guru courses either. It's kind of in the middle there, but they can go look at my YouTube channel and get a sense of my personality and what I can offer there first.
Right. So are you going to host this on a web-based platform?
Yes. Yep. It's all going to be hosted on Teachable. And then the coaching component will be, you know, either just a phone call, or it could be over a video call on Zoom.
Very cool. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Teachable, it's a online learning platform where you can take courses from just about anybody in the business. I mean, you got the really big names in kind of the social media space, like Pat Flynn of the Smart Passive Income podcast. You've heard me mention his name over and over again, because he's one of the reasons that I started doing it on a podcast.
It's interesting that you bring up his name, because he is actually probably the reason why I got into the tech space.
Well, that's because I'm going to guess, and I'll ask you this. Well, what do you mean when you say that? I'm not going to give you my take on it. Well, why do you say that Pat Flynn got you interested in building a tech property?
So it was way back in the archives of his podcasts. I don't remember what number it was, and I'm blanking on the name of the guy who was on it, but he was talking about technology, especially software as a service, and kind of what that looked like. And for me, when I was out for a run at the time, I remember the day perfectly. It was like a October day. I was like, this sounds really interesting. I'd always wanted to invent something or develop a widget and sell it. And the SaaS model just made a lot of sense, because it's so scalable. And obviously there's so many inefficiencies in the world that can be solved by technology. So that sparked the initial interest to get into that.
Yeah, that's cool. And again, I'm a huge podcast listener, because I have gotten the same thing where I have to walk my dog. That doesn't mean I can't multitask, you know?
Right.
I can definitely plug into whatever my podcast interests are, whether it's recreational or it's professionally oriented. And people like Pat Flynn have been just really great connections for me, you know? Other people like him in all sorts of different areas. But there are a ton of podcasts out there, and you don't have to take a master's degree in whatever that podcast is, but dip your foot in, try a bunch of them, and you'll find a voice that resonates with you in a really meaningful way and jump on it. Like Gary Vaynerchuk, everyone knows Gary Vaynerchuk. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? He's got a personality style that is both attractive and repellent at the same time, depending on your point of view.
Right.
Meanwhile, Pat Flynn is about as friendly a guy and personable a guy as there is in the whole wide world. But some people might call him a little low energy for their tastes. You can find that kind of audio mentor that can become a big part of your life by listening to podcasts. And hopefully you're listening to this podcast for that reason as well. It's about time for us to wrap this first episode up. We've been all over the map when it comes to real estate. Next week, we're going to talk about your school-related technology platform. That sounds really, really interesting to this father of three daughters. For this week's episode, I'm DP Knutin at the Nonfiction Brand Podcast and Nonfiction Brandversity, the free Facebook group I'd love for you to join. Just look up Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook. And he is
Nate Shields.
And we'll be back talking at you next week. Bye-bye.